Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome, dear friends, to the realm of Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Just back from the shop and ready to hover at will, which it does all by itself at the push of a thought. This is one of those newer models that links up with your mental impulses. If you think speed, you go fast. If you think slow, you go slow. If you think right or left, so you go. Stop, hover, there you are. You want music? Just think of the artist and the song. However, the nicest feature in my mind is a sauna unit that is a collapsible modular component fitted along one wall. You think about it and it extends outwards. It holds up to four people. The pod is equipped for four in all aspects, from chairs to sleeping racks, which also come out of the walls. Of course, the sauna functions as a normal sauna, but it is so much more than that. It has various healing lights of different colors and sound waves that penetrate your form and do all kinds of interesting things. It's a real marvel. But there's no reason for me to go into all of those details. You and I won't be using it anytime soon, though one never knows. Most of the life forms that travel with me are from other systems or from the Devic realm. My contact with the human race is more along the lines of words and thoughts at a distance and waving at someone while walking somewhere else. I don't hang out with human beings all that much. It's not because I have anything against them, but it is increasingly rare for me to encounter anyone where our interests and objectives dovetail enough to make the relationship fully simpatico. This is one of the reasons that I love being alone so much, because I'm never alone. Friends drop in all the time. I must say I would have expected more traffic and clearer communications once I'd arrived in the islands, given the nature of the environment and the fact that the elementals here are much more active than they are in other places, because this is one of the youngest land masses on Earth. But that hasn't been the case. It could be that it hasn't been so far, and I'm thinking that is because I'm not really here yet. I don't know when I will be, but I couldn't imagine it would be much longer. Have you ever been somewhere and had the feeling that you weren't really there? This is how it feels for me at the moment. It's like I got here, but I didn't. It could be just a matter of having gone to the wrong island, and that will reveal itself in its own time, but something isn't right or settled or manifest in a way that I expected. It could be because some major global change is about to take place that is going to shake everything to its foundations. And if that happens this year, it will be this September. And that's, wow, that's next month. As we like to say around here, time will tell and we shall see. We know the world is going to change dramatically at some point. There are several reasons for it. One of them is the all-out press for war on several fronts. The Ziocons want war because they feed off of the misery created, and it satisfies the demons who demand a blood sacrifice for the material powers that are conferred on them for providing this service. The international bankers are also pushing for war because it is their most profitable business. The international bankers are from the same genetic demographic as the Ziocons. You might call the whole wash of evil a family business. One thing for certain, by their works you shall know them and who they serve. If the effects of their actions are evil, then it is a given that they serve the forces of evil. One can argue about the shades of gray that always come into play when people contend against transparent facts because they refuse to admit to what is and prefer that another explanation that is not an explanation but obfuscation serves as the answer to the whole business that obviously we are too confused to understand. We do not necessarily have to fight evil, and as Nietzsche has said more or less, one must beware not to become evil in the fight against evil. I'm paraphrasing. This implies that the seeds of evil are in all of us and that they will sprout under the right conditions. None of us are immune in our war against what we do not know, against our ignorance, against the weakness of our character. This is why we must win the battle within before we take our concern into the wider battlefields of existence. Often, most of the time, and even possibly all the time, we do not know why things are the way they are, how they got to be that way, and especially what is required to change them. Once again, my own recommendation is that we change ourselves. I have been around spiritual teachers, and I have seen how those rare examples can unite the heart of an entire room. Any of us will not have the same capacity when we deal with large numbers of people, because there will always be a percentage that will react to us in a negative fashion simply because of our personality. The shape and configuration of our planets as they interact and create what we do, they don't always impact with simpatico upon the hearts and minds of everyone that surrounds us, and that is because of our personality. The light of the ineffable does not shine through every segment of our being. There are dark areas that resist the light, and this is what self-inquiry and a fearless and honest estimation of our shortcomings will bring about. Once we recognize our own darkness, we can invite the light into us to consume it. One of the reasons that I recommend devotion as a path to the ineffable is because it amplifies and accelerates our love, and the more love we have, the more profound is our connection to the Almighty. In the end, it is our connection to the Almighty that counts, and none of the extraneous considerations that make up what we are, or think we are, or look like what we are, because none of this is what we are. What we are is what is known about us in the mind of the divine. We are that clear vision of ourselves that the Almighty sees, not the flawed perspective of ourselves that we hold and that others hold of us. Love is the victorious one in all states and on all planes. Nothing can stand against love. It is the cosmic vitriol and the gentle water that wears away the hardest stone. It will wear away all of our resistance if we allow it to. It will drive the darkness from our being and fill our being with light. It will make of us a true child of the Almighty. We are all on that journey of the prodigal son. We can see the light, possibly at a distance of what seems to be far off. The Father sees us coming from far off, long before we do, and depending on the sincerity of our hearts, on that depends whether the ineffable will seek to fast-track us on our way. Being fast-tracked can involve an inordinate amount of suffering, and it can seem as if we are out of favor with the divine, but quite the opposite is the case. Suffering is a kind of currency, a kind of money in our spiritual bank account. And the value of that currency is dependent on what equity backs it, and there is no greater equity than the love in our hearts. The love in our hearts is a direct connection to the Almighty. All love comes from the Almighty, just as all power does as well. There are many paths to liberation and to the ineffable. One need only study the various yoga schools that have existed for centuries to see that there are different means of approach. But in this age of darkness, only the path of love is assured. One can get themselves into trouble by seeking to follow the path of knowledge or other arcane courses. Now, I do not know the abilities or type of karma possessed by every seeker, and so I cannot state conclusively that all of these other paths are suspect or that some others would not be equal to them. I can only speak for myself. What my heart tells me is that my heart must lead the way and that my mind is not sufficient to the challenges of evil in this world. I am not sufficient to be set against the Prince of Darkness. I would need the presence of powerful angels and the support of the ineffable within. What I know is that the higher love is greater than any forces that can be set against it, and that one who relies on the ineffable has the ineffable at their back. No, I am not absolutely certain that this is true. I am certain that my heart tells me it is. And I believe that the Almighty is a well of measureless compassion. And I believe in the power of the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I believe this is true, and this is the course that I choose to follow. You see, I am not pure and enlightened according to the general yardstick of such things. I have failings and shortcomings, and so my mind is not clear and rarefied as it might be for more worthy types. I have to rely on a mind wiser than my own, and I have chosen to do this. I throw myself on the mercy of the court, and I hope that it is true that those who love much are forgiven much. I have failed and fallen short more times than I can remember or count. The only thing that stands in my defense is that I have gotten back up and tried again and again and again to measure up to what is expected of me. Also in my defense, I have been sorely tried, and great obstacles have been placed in my path, and I suspect that this is true for some number of the listeners out there. Those of you to whom this applies will understand what I'm talking about. I cannot make head or tails out of the things that have happened to me in recent times. I just got a bill in the mail from the company that flew me to Oahu for emergency surgery after I was assaulted here at my home. The bill for a single flight of 200 miles was $75,000. Isn't that amazing? What is more amazing is that it cost almost exactly half that to take a private jet from New York to Los Angeles. And should you want to hire a larger airliner that usually hauls hundreds of people, it only costs about $25,000 more. Is this amazing or what? I thought my bills from this event might run into tens of thousands of dollars, but it looks like it's going to run into hundreds of thousands of dollars. Of course, I cannot pay this, nor, from my knowledge of how my life has gone, will I ever be able to pay this. I don't know exactly what the ineffable has in mind with all this. Maybe some heiress will come out of the woodwork and wave a fairy wand over my finances. The truth is that I'm not giving any thought to it whatsoever. It has something to do with the movie I'm in, and I will leave it in the competent hands of the one who manages my affairs. I was assaulted right out of the blue by a highly ranked martial artist who had been visiting me in previous weeks with another fellow who had come by to watch movies and talk with me. One of them was a reader of the blogs, possibly both of them. There was never any indication of malevolence directed at me, yet one Sunday afternoon, out of the blue, and with no warning, this fellow blindsided me and broke my jaw in several places. Both jawbones were broken, and my attending physician said it was the worst break he had ever seen. As a result, I now feed myself out of a blender and a food processor, and that's working for the moment. I can't afford the necessary treatments here unless my lower plate prosthetic can be adjusted, and there is a chance that it can, and I'm hopeful in that regard. Otherwise, it seems like a smart move for me to fly to Europe, where I have full health coverage, and all of this will be taken care of. I don't have anywhere to go there, though, that I know of in Germany, so that presents a problem as far as lodging and such, but maybe something will surface. I am praying on the matter, and we shall see. In any case, it's the way things are at the moment, and I am managing as best I can. All I can think is that this fellow who attacked me was paid to do this because nothing else makes sense. My landlady says he was screaming at me when the two of them left, and when I tried to communicate with the other guy later, he said it was strange. He won't comment at all, as if he knows that anything he says will reveal more than he wishes to. He skirts the issue in every instance, and there's been no apology or explanation whatsoever. Anyway, a bit of digression there, a digression from the more important considerations of the path of love, the love of the ineffable, and our own capacity for love. My personal situation is simply that, nothing to do with my karma or the ineffable's mysterious intentions for me. Nothing of my personal circumstances has any measurable power against the power of love. It could be that I need to be to more fully learn about the power of love, and that is likely what the future is for. Okay, my friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, I ask that you consider the degree to which love influences and can influence your life, and seek to make it the most important influence in your life. That said, La ilaha il alahu, Hail Lord Jesus Christ, Hare Krishna, much love, Lady Nature. Greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesh. Om Amitabha. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Haru.
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. Coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when it gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth. He's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.